This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Outside the Round with me, Matt Barile. Today, a very special guest. He comes to us from the great state of New Mexico, now by way of Texas. Yeah. He's out here in town, going to be playing one of our rounds this week, and he's been on a dang rocket ship. It's our boy, Tice Delk.
What's up, man?
Brother, how you doing?
Doing good, man. Doing well.
Doing good. Happy Monday. You have a good weekend?
Yeah, had a good weekend. We had three shows. We were in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Stephenville, and then just north of Austin. And we got rained out the last two nights in Stephenville and Jarrell, but we did a little acoustic deal in Stephenville, and then Jarrell, we just had to cut the show short, but it was still a real fun weekend.
That's awesome, man. How long have you been doing this music thing for?
I've been kind of actually doing it for probably since 2022.
Okay. That's
kind of. Well, actually, I moved to Lubbock in January of 24, so that's kind of when I really started pursuing, but I've been gigging since 2021, 2022.
Yeah, man. And I've only been to Lubbock once, but I've been around the music world for a while to know that West Texas, Lubbock is such a hub. It's such an underrated music town, music scene in Texas. When you talk about places like Cook's and the Blue Light, we went out there for the opening weekend of Texas Tech football. We were out there with your good buddy Hudson Westbrook. I was actually the guy, I don't know if you saw the video of everybody throwing the tortillas at his show. Hudson jokingly said to us at a pre-party thing about, hey, if you guys can get some tortillas. And we went to the local Walmart and bought like 300 tortillas. So it's a cool spot though, man.
It's a neat spot, yeah.
Did you go out there for school or were you just wanting to be out there in the scene?
I just wanted to kind of be out there. I was living in New Mexico and just kind of working, and I was going to school online. And I just kind of told my parents, I was like, you know, I just want to move to Lubbock and kind of see what it has to offer. Because like you said, I knew it was a little hub. And me and my buddy Owen Burton, he plays harmonica, he moved over there with me. And we just started gigging around and we started meeting people and then kept gigging. And then now we're here, I guess.
Yeah, what were some of those early gigs out there? Were you part of like that Blue Light scene?
Yeah, we did the songwriter night at Monday, and then we opened some shows acoustic at Blue Light a bunch, and then we were gigging at like Triple J's Brew House, Chop House. It's a steakhouse right across the street from Blue Light, and then we were playing some wineries, the farmhouse wineries and vineyards there in Brownfield. We were going all around there, just playing a lot of acoustic gigs, and then private stuff too, you know, just events, weddings and whatnot. So it was fun. I loved it.
Yeah, man. It's the people out there just appreciate.
Yeah, the support. That's what I've talked about. The thing about that I think makes Lubbock so different is like the support you get from everybody on the ground up, you know? I mean, I wasn't that good at the beginning, but everybody's like, keep going. You know what I mean? And so the support that you get in Lubbock is awesome.
And they appreciate the songwriting side of it.
Yes.
Which is something that we love here in Nashville. Yeah. It's something that we're very big on with Rage Rowdy. But it's like the guys and girls that have come out of that scene, going back to like the Flatland Cavalries and more on the rockier side, like the Pecos and the Rooftops.
Yeah.
And like my buddy Tyler Halverson. And there's just... So the kids at Tech just love music.
There's just something about Lubbock, yeah.
And you learn how to perform in front of people to where like you learn how to perform and please the kids in Lubbock. You can pretty much go anywhere in the world and play music.
They're brutally honest as well.
Yeah, did you have some of those moments early on?
Just a couple. I mean, I needed it. I mean, there were some times where I didn't practice enough, or I would write a terrible song and nobody would like. I mean, just stuff you got to go through to get somewhere, you know what I mean? But it was all worth it.
Yeah, how old are you, man?
23.
You're 23.
Yeah.
So you moved out there, and you said 22, right?
Yeah, January of 22. December of 21. No, let's see here. December of 23 is when I decided to move, and then January of 24, that's when we moved to Lubbock.
Okay, so
just from New Mexico.
So it's been like a year.
Yeah,
been only a year, and a lot has happened in 12 months.
Yeah. A bunch.
When did you feel the motor starting to run?
Well, I had recorded Adeline and I sat on it for like a year just because I wasn't sure about it. And then my wife was just like, just put it out. Like, just screw it, put it out. And I had two songs cut. And so I called the guy at the studio and I just said I wanted to recut the vocals on it. And then so I recut the vocals and it put it on TikTok and it did the whole viral. I mean, it went bonkers.
Yeah, what's a moment like that coming from? Because New Mexico's it's a large state, but there's not a lot of people out there. It's a very small town. Like it is, it is the West.
Yeah.
What was it like for you coming from a small town and then millions of people are seeing, know who you are and hearing
your
music?
It was, I'm a fourth generation musician. And so like in New Mexico, it's kind of a, it's a unique situation. In New Mexico, like my dad and my uncles have a swing dance band. And it's kind of unique. Like they can sell 500 tickets any night of the week in New Mexico because everybody wants to come dance.
Yeah.
You know, and like when they play, when they'll put a shindig on, it's like a big reunion. Like they've had people, all their college buddies come and stuff. And so I've always been around music, but nothing to the scale that it jumped to, you know? And so it was pretty, it was overwhelming a lot. I mean, just in the mental side of it, trying to get all the ducks in a row and everything. But it was, I wouldn't trade it for the world. I mean, it's what you see it happen to kids on TikTok all the time, you know, and I'm super thankful that I got blessed enough to for Adeline to do it. So
yeah, man. And you grew up out farming and ranching. And for someone who like me, I'm familiar with New Mexico because I haven't like from hearing about it, but that's one of the few states that I haven't gotten to go to. I've been to like 40 states from back in my tour manager days.
Not a lot there.
But what is it like? How would you describe it to someone
that
hasn't been out there?
Like New Mexico's got a lot of culture to it, and the people in New Mexico are what really I think sets it apart. I mean, just that part of the world, West Texas, that ranching, farming, the ag community. I mean, it's a really, really neat, special part of the world. And I wouldn't trade, you know, growing up, I was like, man, I want to get out of here, blah, blah, blah. But like looking back, I can't imagine trying to raise kids or have a family anywhere else in that part of the world. And so I loved it.
Yeah, man. I feel like that's something everybody goes through with their hometown. Like I grew up in a New York City suburb and where there's so much to do, but I was like, I want to get out of here. And that's what led me here to Nashville, you know, where it's coming up where there's not a lot of people and there's more cows than there are people, right? Is that fair to say about New Mexico?
Yeah, I would say so. Definitely like in where I'm from, Albuquerque and Santa Fe, some of those areas, probably not. But yeah, where I'm from, it's not a whole lot of anything besides farming and ranching stuff.
Yeah, so Adeline, how do you write that song?
Just poured out one night. It was pretty unique. I had the melody and, you know, those first couple lines for a long time and just kind of wanted to write kind of a storyline of something, and I wanted that cold start, the baby, you know, and so just kind of poured out, and like I said, set on it, and wasn't sure about it, and then my wife was like, screw it, do it, and so I did it, and voila.
How long you and your wife been together?
We got married the 29th of August, and so we've been married 2 months, 3 months, something like that, not very long, so.
And how long had you been dating with how far do you and her go back?
Would have been from June of last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you just knew she
just
was
knew,
the one.
Yeah, I didn't believe in the when you know, but I did when I met her, so. Yeah.
And that was out in Lubbock?
No, she ironically actually saw a video of me singing Adeline on TikTok and slid into my DMs.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Go ahead and call her out real quick.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah. See, me and my girlfriend, we've been together. It'll be 3 years in April, and we got connected over social media. She reacted to one of my stories on Instagram. Where's she from originally?
Oklahoma.
Okay, so same part of the world.
Yeah, she agriculture family. They got a farm there west of Oklahoma City, and so yeah, same type of growing up. And she had DM'd me, and then we were kind of liking stories back and forth, blah blah blah, and. Just kind of happened.
It all worked out. Yeah. That's awesome, dude. That's cool, man. Oklahoma's another great musical state. And you said you were just up there playing shows.
Yeah, we were at the Mercury Lounge in Tulsa.
Oh, that's one of the best.
It was cool.
That's one of the best rooms, man. I'm a Stillwater guy.
Where she went to school at Stillwater. So it's like a cult, something about them OSU people.
Yeah.
It's they're
no matter how bad the football team is, no they're matter, go
oh
pokes.
The way
I know Tech just put a whooping on them.
Yeah, we loved it. The band, everybody's from Lubbock, and we were in the van watching the game, and it's a bad day to be a poke. And
yeah,
so.
Man. Yeah, we got to help out with Calf Fry this past year. Yeah. So I got to go out there and host the main stage, and they had Pistol Pete come out before I introduced the headliner each night.
Yeah.
And watching Pistol Pete shoot the rifle off, I was like, I ain't in New York. I ain't in Nashville no more. I'm like, this is a whole other world. And it was Calf Fry, so they're eating the Calf Fry out there, the Rocky Mountain oysters. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this stuff's actually pretty good.
Yeah, we used to, growing up, we would, a guy by the name of Jeff Ashley would cut them, and then we'd throw them on the branding iron with a little A1 or Tony's Creole.
Yeah.
That was our lunch.
They're pretty good.
Yeah, it was good.
They're pretty good. People were like, are you going to eat the cat fry? I'm like, oh, I sure am. And yeah. I ended up eating the fried cat fry all dang weekend, man. Yeah. It was cool, man. So have you gotten to go around and do a lot of shows here?
In Nashville?
Well, not even in Nashville, just in general. Like,
so with this being the first tour, we're kind of the farthest we've got to go. We've been all over Texas, which has been awesome because of the support in Texas. But we've done kind of the farthest so far has been Tulsa. And then here pretty quick, we'll go to El Paso. And then we've got Little Rock this weekend with Hudson. And then we'll go to Vegas for the NFR. Yeah. And so in the next year, we've got some really, really cool stuff lined up that I'm pumped about.
Yeah, man. You're actually playing one of our stage at Rock the South.
Yes.
In Coleman, Alabama.
Yeah, I'm pumped. The band and I are like the
first
ecstatic.
First year of the Razor Audi stage. And when we saw your name on there, I'm like,
we are pumped about those
shows. Dude, and it's cool. And it's like, music is universal, or it's no matter where you go, it's a great connector. You know, I know people get into it online of that ain't country, this, that, and the other thing, but it brings people together, man, and it's a great way to see the world and see the country.
Yeah, no, I love it, and like I don't know that like we're a straight country band just because like Adeline's kind of bluesy a little bit, you know, but I just like to make music that people can kind of relate to and, you know, listen to and feel good.
Yeah, man, it's, you can feel the Western in your music. And As Long As I Got You is like a honky-tonk dance song, man. It feels like something that, like when you talk about your family band back home, like your dad, like your old man and your uncles and like your family playing those swinging dance halls.
Oh, yeah. I wanted a traditional country feel like that. And I've got some more in the tank that kind of feel like that, but just wanted something for the catalog, traditional country and stuff like that.
Yeah, so. What'd you grow up listening to?
A lot of Mo Bandy, Bob Will, a lot of old stuff. My dad had Willie's Roadhouse playing, and then my mom had the Christian station playing. And so it was, we listened to a lot of everything. I mean, it was mainly 90s country. I mean, a lot of that stuff, 90s and older country.
Yeah, which now at the time that you're coming up, there's this resurgence.
There's a lot of people listening to it. So
it's cool, man. Yeah. Like, it's sick that, like, for, because I look back on, like, I came into country music, like, as a little kid listening to, like, the Tim McGraw was my first concert back in 03 when he was touring, like, Wallen tours now, you know? And it was wild. But the 2000, like, the 2010s, like, party country stuff, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah, you know? I love, like, the old Jason Aldean stuff from
early Aldean. Everybody cranks up an FGL tune now and again, you know? And that's what's cool is, like, you're a guy that's at the forefront of this revival of the traditional sound, something that the dance halls out west are cranking to, something that folks around the world are really hip on right now.
Yeah.
But you enjoy all of it.
Yeah, I love all of it. I love, and just kind of my style, the way I sing, it's a lot of high and notes and runs and stuff like that. And so, like, to go from that to, like, you know, to like As Long As I Got You. So
yeah, how's the dynamic of the band? How many pieces are we running?
So we've got a 5-piece. We've got drums, bass, lead guitar, and then fiddle. And so this guy over here on my left, he plays telly and fiddle.
Oh, nice.
And then my bass and that guy, they both sing harms. And so we've got a great band. So really solid guys. Yeah, nobody's stupid. Everybody loves to have fun and party, but nobody's stupid. Everybody's awesome.
That's the cool part about coming up in a scene like Lubbock. You know what the ultimate way of partying it is, because Lubbock is just Lubbock, and those tech kids and the blue, those are rowdy crowds.
Yeah.
So it's like you kind of get that out of your system before you end up.
Well, and like I'm fortunate enough, like my lead player, Jace, he's awesome. I've known him. I called him when all this happened, and he was in, but he's filled in with Treaty here recently.
Oh.
So he's one of their guys. And so he's been there. I rely on him and my drummer, Jamie, a lot as this gets rolling. Just like, what should we do here? How should we do this? Like, they've been awesome.
Yeah, having the experience.
Yeah, they've just been there. They've played in front of those big crowds. You know what I mean? And they both played with a guy that was opening some shows for Braxton Keith as well. So they've, like I said, been in front of the big crowds. They've played on the bigger stages, and so they've been a great help. And then my TM, this is kind of a funny story. She's my brother's sister-in-law. So my TM's sister married my brother, and she was working at a vet clinic, and she was just kind of not sure what she wanted to do. And so when all this happened and we were getting the tour put together, I texted her, and because I know she's a very OCD person, and I said, hey, go to ChatGPT and type in, I'm a tour manager for a country band touring mostly Texas this first year, but going to get out of Texas. What are my responsibilities?
It's a great prompt.
If you think if you think you can handle it, you got the job. And she texts back. She's like, I want it. And so she's been, we're all learning, you know, I mean, but she is so organized. I mean, she carries wipes in the bus, like spilled a Gatorade. She's got wipes. You know, us guys don't carry wipes in the bus. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
And so
that's important. And it's cool that you're all learning how to do it together. Yeah, but you've got some vets in the crew.
Exactly.
That's how it was for me. Like when I was tour managing, I was out with my buddy Trey Lewis when his stuff started popping during 2020. And we were all Trey had been playing shows for a long time, but never at that scale. And we were all learning what it was like to go on the road and make it to load in time when the shows are a few hundred miles away. And what do you do when the trailer tire, when the wheel bearing on a trailer goes out?
Yeah, see, I carry around a big impact and a pipe jack because, like, I don't want to deal with no flat tire and it's raining. Like, I'm like, I want to be prepared for that type of stuff. Man.
Yeah, and OCD works very well with a tour manager.
Yeah,
like
she's
attention to detail.
Yeah, she gets us up when we're in the Airbnb. I mean, she's picks up the green room. She's awesome. She's doing great.
That's great, man.
Yeah,
I love
then
that.
My best friend Sam, he goes with us too, and he's just like kind of a utility guy. Like he'll help pick up the stage, and then right now he's kind of running our monitors. I mean, he's not a monitor tech, but if we're in the talk back, like, hey, I need more guitar. He's doing that type of stuff.
Yeah, man.
So.
And so much of it is the hang of who you have on the road.
We
and
got
like,
a great crew.
Because you guys are packed in a van right now, I imagine, right?
Yeah, we're in a Ford Transit 15-seater, so we're all getting pretty tight.
Yeah, man. That's I miss like the van touring days. I did a lot of time in a van. I did a lot of time in a Sprinter. I was fortunate enough to go out in a bus sometimes, in a van wagon sometimes. Yeah. But it's like those when you're with your crew, tight-knit, and you're excited for show one, and then show two, you still got the energy, and then after show three, you're like, get me home. That's when the real bonding starts, bro.
Yeah, no, it is. I love being in the van with the guys, and just some of my favorite times is like after the show, getting back to the Airbnb, and then it's like we all kind of decompress, and we all look at our socials and see what people posted and stuff like that, so I love it.
Hey, man, talk about what makes the Texas style of storytelling so special. I know that's something that we see in your music and you've gotten to experience being a part of that Lubbock scene and having friends like Hudson and like Braxton and folks that have been doing it at a higher level here lately.
I just think it's the authenticity of it and the rawness of it. Like, I think a great example is Turnpike. Like, they're from Oklahoma, but their storytelling in them songs.
Yeah, Evan's a poet, man.
Oh, it's unreal. It is. It's remarkable. Like, I just think being able to tell a story from like your point of view, but having the world relate to it is really, really special. So that's one thing that I'm trying to work on in my songwriting is like, I would love the majority of my songs to be real and you know, where it's something that's happened and then people can relate to it.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Looking at the catalog here, tell me about, we've talked about As Long As I Got You, and that came out, that came out as like, after you got married, right?
Yeah. I wrote that with Bryce Long and Lucas Scott, and I had that title, and Bryce Long's a country dude, and so and then
he's
Lucas,
been doing it a long time, longer than you and I have both been alive, I think.
Yeah, and then Lucas is great, and so I wanted kind of a fun song, you know, we had kind of like, I got rice cooking in the microwave, a three-day beard, you know, and so just wanted something that was fun to sing along with and that also had a good meaning. And so I love that song.
And the energy for the live show.
Yeah, I love playing that song. We do band intros on that song. I love playing that.
That's awesome. And tell me about Can't Recall, because that's another slower one. But again, it tells a story.
Yeah, it does. And so Hudson's Silas and Bryn had that song like almost completely written. And I had a song cut, but I wasn't sure about it. And so I had cut the demo with them, and we had changed a few things, and I just asked them, I was like, can I cut this? Like, and they were like, dude, this is your song. Like, you would kill this song. And so that song is super cool, and I'm proud of that. And the story that it has and the emotion in some of those notes, I love it. And that's a fun one to sing live, too, because everybody screams those big, yeah. You know, and so I love that.
Yeah,
song.
Man, it's almost like you have like your Teddy Swims moment in a way.
Yeah, a
like,
little bit, you know.
Where you jump into that soulfulness, man. Yeah. How would you describe your music to somebody who hasn't heard it yet?
I would say, I don't know. Somebody asked me this a while back, and I really had no clue to say what no clue what to say. We touch all the bases, I guess, you know, because we'll play the country, but then we also cover, like in our set, we'll cover Superstition by Stevie Wonder.
Oh.
And then like Crazy by Gnarls Barkley. Yeah. That make me crazy.
That has to be sick with the Western band.
Oh, it's cool.
Too, man.
It's so fun. Yeah. And so I just like to, like, to sum it up, like to put on, we like to entertain, you know, put on a good show, but also tell the stories that people want to hear, you know?
Yeah, tell me about this EP, Enough Ain't Enough.
That's my favorite song I've ever been a part of.
Wow, and it isn't out yet. We got it coming out here soon.
Yeah, it's that song, man. I can't even put it into words.
Who'd you write that with?
Kenny Whitmire.
Oh, dude, I love Kenny.
He's been
man.
Out on the road with us twice. He was on this weekend run with us, and I love Kenny. And it was funny. My dad and I had been a fan of Kenny for 2 years. And so, I texted my publisher and I was like, "Hey, I want to write with Kenny Whitmire." And she was like, "It's on the calendar." And this was like 2.5 months ago. So I called my dad. I was like, "Dad, I'm writing with Kenny Whitmire." And so, but no, Kenny's great, man. And he's a good hang. And he's obviously a incredible vocalist and guitar player. Like that dude can pick, but he's just as good songwriting. That dude, it's a matter of time for the world
I remember a few years back when he first got to town, he was part of like a crew that kind of got incubated into the scene through our events that we've been doing for a long time, like the Songwriters Night that you're doing tomorrow night, that Tuesday event back in like 21-22. Kenny was like one of our regulars coming up, man.
He's unreal. He's nasty.
Dude, he is. And it's like, he dips into that Western world where that scene that you're in. Yeah. And then has guys coming up like the Colton Dawsons and the Cole Goodwins and his guys, man. And he's just, it's important to have homies like that in Nashville for you, where you're relatively new to this world out here. There's... So to have great friends and have the team and all that, man, how long have you been coming out here?
The first time I came out here was the week before my wedding. So I've been coming out here about twice a month since August, starting in August.
So you're fresh to Nashville,
we're
man.
We're new to it.
How do you like it so far?
There's a lot of people, but I love it. I'm not used to this. I mean, anytime I drive, I'm like, surely everybody's home from work. But no, everybody's still doing something.
Yeah, man.
There's people everywhere, but I love it.
And it's just this energy when you get in the writing rooms out here.
Yeah, I love writing out here. I mean, you get in, you chew the fat for a little bit, you sit down, you kind of just visit, and then get rolling on a song, and I love it.
I don't. Another one of the unreleased that'll be coming out on this EP. I love that title, man. Tell me about that one.
I had that title a long time, and I just, like, my head in that, because, like, a lot of people get broken up with, and I'm like, I can't believe, like, I won't, like, I just don't believe, and I was like, I can't, I won't, I don't. So I had a melody, and that one was me, Neil Medley, Reed, and Kenny.
Yeah.
Two more. That was a dream team.
Neil and Reed, man. Reed's another guy that we've known forever, man. I remember when he first started coming up here from Alabama, you know?
He's a bad motor scooter. And no, that song, too. I was telling Zeb, I like get a tingle after I write certain songs. And like, Enough Ain't Enough, and I Can't, I Want, I Don't, I definitely got a tingle. So I knew those two I wanted to cut, but... I love the melody on that song. I'm super proud of both of those songs.
Yeah, man. Well, I can't wait to hear that, dude. How does it feel to have a 5-song EP coming out?
It's
early
awesome.
In your career?
Yeah, I was talking to my mom about that the other day, because for so long, we'd like it was how am I gonna get music out? How am I gonna afford it? You know what I mean?
It's a challenge.
It's something that like just kind of will take it out of you mentally if you don't know how to go about it. Yeah. And I didn't know how to go about it. And so to have the opportunity to do it at the highest level nowadays is such a blessing. Like I just, like I said, go back to a year ago, like wanting to get music out and wanting to write awesome songs and do that part of it, but not knowing how to get there or like when it would happen or anything like that. And so to be at that point now and like we're just getting started, you know? I mean, like, it's still so fresh, but it's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, man. Talk about finding your way to the team over at Riverhouse.
It was awesome. Zeba Hudson was playing at Cook's the day of our wedding, actually, or else we would have...
That was the show I was at.
Yeah, yeah.
Outside, so, when he put, like, 12,000 people outside of Cook's. We were throwing tortillas.
Yeah. It was funny because I had kind of been in touch with Zeb before that a little, and I had completely forgot we were getting married, and I was like, I wonder if I could open that show, and my wife just kind of looked at me like, are you dumb? And, so it was that show, and that's kind of when I met Zeb and everything, and Zeb's been awesome. He's taking care of me and doing, you know, he's been great, and so Zeb kind of reached out to me, and then Adeline did its whole thing, and they've just been awesome for me and helping me out and everywhere I need, you know? I mean, they couldn't do it without them.
Yeah, man. And you talk about trying to figure out with your family, how do we get these songs out there? And now it's like you have a team that
exactly
accelerates that, man. You got accelerators around you.
Yeah, I feel like almost guilty because it's like I should be doing more, but it's the team helps so much. Well, and just
your job is to write the songs, get them out on your social media channels, and then go and play the shows and be a good human while doing it.
Yeah.
And it seems like you're doing a good job of that, bro.
I'm trying, man.
That's what it's all about, is just being a good person goes such a long way it in does. Any world, but particularly the in music. This country music thing, man.
Yeah, and that's like, I go back to like where I grew up at, you know, like if I can take those values to where I end up, I think I'll be fine regardless of how many people are listening to my music.
Yeah, man, what have been some pinch? I know we're early on in the rocket ship. It's just starting to take off, but what have been some of those pinch me moments that you've gotten to have so far?
Probably the favorite show so far has been Helotes at Flores.
Oh, dude.
That was
legendary.
Like, we played the indoor stage, and just from the green room, I mean, that was one thing just because like Willie actually lived in that green room back in the day, but we like packed that place out, and that was like the first show, you know, that it felt like everybody was singing. I mean, they were singing some unreleased stuff that I had on my TikTok back to me.
Wow.
There was people singing back a song that I wrote called Be Okay that I don't know if I'll ever put out, but we still played in the live show. They were singing that back like they had stalked my TikTok, and it was pretty neat. I mean, that was the first pinch me, and then these shows with Hudson are going to be pinch me. And then I did Hudson played in Portales, New Mexico the week before my wedding, August 23rd, and we opened for him at a county fair, and there was like 5,500 people at this show. I mean, that was a pinch me moment too, and it was cool because that was somewhat of a hometown show for me too, and so that was really neat. I mean, it was nerve-wracking because it was like all these people that wiped my ass growing up, you know, that
folks that have known you since you were a little guy have watched you grow into the man that you are today.
But seeing how proud of me they were and just stuff like that, that was awesome, and just that was a real pinch me moment too. And so
that's awesome. What do you like doing when you're not doing the music stuff? Because right now it's you're busy and you're only going to get busier. Yeah. But what is Tice like doing in downtime?
I like to hunt. I like to work out. My wife and I, we like to go shopping for turquoise and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah. And so we love to eat too.
Nashville's a good place.
Some Dave's Hot Chicken. Food, that's our guilty.
Dave's Hot Chicken. Okay, that's an underrated. That's an underground hot chicken spot, because most people go with Hattie B's or Party Fowl or Prince's.
Well, see, there's not. We don't have any of that in Texas or in Lubbock, anyways.
So you're talking about Lubbock. Dallas. Okay.
Yeah. And so, or Fort Worth. And so, yeah, we'll get or go get some Mexican food. But yeah.
Have you had the Mexican food up here?
I haven't. But it's going to be tough to beat being from New Mexico.
That's what I was going to say. So many of the guys that, like, I have buddies from like Southern California or Arizona or New Mexico or Texas. And coming from New York, this is some of the best Mexican food I've ever had has been in Tennessee.
Oh.
And they're like, man.
The further you get south, my uncle married the daughter of a big chili farmer from Hatch, and so we do a big chili roast every year with red and green chilies from Hatch, and it's like we'll put those green chilies through a meat grinder.
I heard the green chili. I had my buddy Atlas on here recently. He's from Colorado, and he tells me that the green chili is just a whole different thing. You guys put it on everything.
Oh yeah, we'll put it on eggs. I mean, obviously burgers. We'll put it on a steak with some pepper jack, broil it, and then like a deep fried, like you'll pull it apart, stuff it with cheese and ground beef, wrap it back up, put some batter on it and fry it, a chili relleno.
Man.
Yeah, I love the food. Like, I haven't had any here, but don't know if I want.
I hear Chewy's in Midtown.
Chewy's
has the green chili. That's the only place Atlas has said that he has found it. Is the Chewy's in Midtown?
Yeah, I haven't been there, but I've been to Chewy's in Fort Worth, and it's good. But like, there's some spots in my hometown: Juanito's, Leal's, or Las Cruces, New Mexico, Andale's Doghouse.
Well, you guys probably have Mexican food for days. Oh, like you probably have Mexican food. Like, I have pizza growing up.
Exactly.
Like, in New York, it's pizza and bagels and delis and stuff, man.
Yeah, I love it. Mexican food's definitely my favorite.
That's awesome. That makes sense coming from New Mexico.
Yeah,
that makes total sense. What do you like hunting?
A lot of deer, elk, coyotes. I love to just sit down and put a call up and hunt some coyotes, you know. It's about all you can do in that part of the world. I mean,
Has Kenny taken you out to hunting in Georgia yet?
No, that's sorry, Shucker won't take me. No, I bet he would. We just haven't found time.
I was going to say, you got to, because he's a guy that spends a lot of time out in the woods this time of year with deer season going on.
Yeah. No, he's a woodsman for sure.
Do you feel like there's just I'm growing up in New York. I didn't grow up hunting. I've yet to have a guest or someone in the country music world take me out. And I used to work with the Muscadine guys for damn sake, and they are hunting dudes. Gary takes off in the spring because he turkey hunts.
Yeah,
like, that's what they do. But I've been told there's like a peacefulness to it, and just
it's awesome.
Being out and has that primitive aspect. Like, what makes hunting so special for you?
I just love being out there and like. I found myself like walking sometimes and I'm like, nobody's ever stepped right here. Like, nobody's ever seen this rock. How long has this rock been here and not moved? You know what I mean? Just stuff like that. And then getting up to the top of a rim or something and glassing through your binos and just seeing all the vast country, and then looking, then boom, pop up there. You see an elk or deer or something like that. I just love being out there, and the aspect of the being so independent, you know, packing food and stuff like that. I love it.
Yeah, man. Have you written songs or come up with ideas while you've been out?
I haven't, but like, that's one thing. Next year, get a little more money in the bank, and I'd love to go on a big hunt with my dad and my brother and spend a week and just no phones and just be out there with them. I bet I could write one. I bet I could maybe write one then.
Yeah. What do you do with an elk when you shoot it? Because that's a big animal.
Yeah, you got to quarter it up and then pack it out.
Like, how long does that process take?
Depends where you're at.
I guess depends on the size of the elk.
Yeah, I mean, if you're way back in the country, I mean, it'll take all night to get one out. But if you're close enough where you could get a four-wheeler or something, it's a little easier. But quarter them up, put them on a backpack, and then three, four guys, five guys, pack it down a mountain.
Wow.
It'll work on a quad.
That's like a damn Clint Eastwood movie.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you're out there, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's legit.
What makes the West so special? Because it seems like something where you're always going to rep where you're from. Kind of like how Ian Munsick sings about being from Montana.
Yeah.
And Tyler Halverson has a lot of representation of South Dakota in his music. Like, what is it about that part of the country and that frontier life that is so special for you?
You know, once again, I think just go back to the people that are there and just the community of people that are there and how we treat each other and the livelihood that we do too. I mean, the Western and the ag world, it's something special, and it's kind of had a revival since probably the Yellowstone movies, you know, or the show come out. But I just think that part of the world and how we live and what we do is really special, and it's so unknown to a lot of people, you know.
Yeah, it's something it seems like people take a lot of pride in.
Yeah, it's a lot of pride, and it's just a lot of – it's because I think your livelihood is your work, you know what I mean? And so – and the way you live is your work, you know. And so, like, mom's got a big garden. We butcher our own cows and stuff like that, and – steers and whatnot, and so I just think we just take great pride in a lot of things we do, you know.
That's awesome, man. It gets reflected in your music.
Yeah
like, it really does, man. So what are we looking at as far as next year with music and stuff? I know you're gonna be on the road.
I am, but I'm gonna be writing a ton too, and so I want to put out a song like every month, and so
there's just a feeling, there's this sensation, this dopamine hit that you get when you put a song out for the people, man.
Yeah, and so, but I'm real picky on the songs too. Like I said, I gotta have that tingle, you know. And so I want to put out as much as I can, but like, yeah, we're gonna be on the road a bunch, but I'm gonna be doing all I can to write some killer music too.
Where are some places that you're excited to get to that you haven't? Like, how many states have you been? Like, have you been around the country?
No, not yet. We've only
grown up in New Mexico. I feel like you don't travel.
Yeah,
a ton.
No, we did, and we didn't have time. I mean, growing up, like, we worked and we were basketball. I mean, I was a basketball player.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay, where were you playing on the court?
I was a point guard. That's about all I could do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just passing the ball, playing some defense.
Yeah, I played a year of college ball and then decided I would probably wouldn't be enough.
Where'd you play at?
UMHB in Belton, Texas.
Okay.
And so, but yeah, we were really too busy to travel. We were either working, cutting weight, or playing basketball. And so, but I've played in Colorado, New Mexico, Texas, and Oklahoma. And so next year, I'm super pumped for the Tailgates and Tallboys in Bloomington.
Yeah, that one too, bro.
I'm so excited.
So that's a festival we've been involved with for the last 4 years.
And I think we're the same day as Big X or something like that.
Oh, yeah, dude. And I've been lucky enough. This will be my third year hosting the stages.
Yeah.
And I describe it as it's like the WWE Attitude Era of festivals, where the crowd, I mean, it's exactly what you think. It's Tailgates and Tallboys. It's the people have a good time, and it is rowdy, and what I love about it too is that it's like it's that all genre aspect. Like a couple years ago, Nickelback headlined one of the days.
That'd be sick. Yeah.
They did one. They do them in Illinois or in Iowa, and Shinedown headlined the one in Iowa back in 2024. Like it's all genre, and like the fact that Jesse's on there and Big X is on there too, man.
It's gonna be sick, and then we've got some, I think we're going to be in Idaho, maybe, okay. Iowa, Grand Rapids, something like that. I'm pumped for that.
Yeah.
And I love driving. Like there was my brother and I drove a truck from Eastern New Mexico to Tucson, Arizona, a bunch, hauling buildings. And so we both love driving and
hauling seeing buildings. What kind of buildings?
Self-storage buildings.
Oh, so it's like those big trucks where you have the guy like, or it's like the heavy load.
No, it wasn't like an oversized load. It was just like a 52-foot trailer, and we would put there. My granddad owns the company, but it's just little portable self-storage.
Oh, okay.
Buildings, and we would put four on a trailer and haul them down there. But point being, I love driving and seeing different parts of the world.
You're in the right line of work.
Yeah.
If you like driving and you like being on the road and seeing new landscapes and new places.
Yeah, I mean, and seeing different landscapes, like you said, just seeing different parts of the world is so cool to me, and seeing how different people live, especially going like straight north from New Mexico up through Colorado and just getting to Wyoming and some of the Nebraskas and Dakotas. I just love seeing different parts of the world. And so I'm excited.
Can't wait to hear your thoughts when you get up to the Northeast, where I'm from, man.
I've never been up Northeast.
Dude, and I don't blame you. If I was from New Mexico, I wouldn't have been up there either, like I've never been to New Mexico.
And I'm a massive Boston Celtics fan. That was really my team. Yeah, so one of these days, I'm going to buy courtside tickets on the Parkett, and I'm going to go watch the Celtics.
Why the Celtics?
I guess when I could really understand, like when I got to the edge of understanding basketball, I mean, it was like the 07, 08, 2009 team with Ray Allen.
The Big Three.
Tony Allen, Big Perk,
Kevin Garnett. Yeah, man.
Paul Pierce, Rondo, Brian Scalabrine. I mean.
Oh, Brian Scalabrine,
that's a
man.
Pool. And then that was Kobe's prime too, and the Lakers and the Magic were hot. And so that's when I just took a liking to the Celtics, and I've been diehard. My wife gives me crap because when they won the finals a couple of years ago, I cried. I was in tears, So, no, I love the Celtics.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I grew up a big Knicks fan. And I'm New York, man.
Yeah, that's true.
Yankees, you see, I got the little bobbleheads right here. Baseball's my first love.
Yeah.
Football, the Giants. And then, I mean, we have 13 professional sports teams where I'm from.
The Giants took a hit yesterday.
We've taken a lot of hits for a long time, man.
Took a big hit.
Scataboo getting knocked out was tough. The refs did not help us at all. That was a fumble. but it's like, it's the setting, like the Boston Garden is wild, man. And my dad grew up in New England, still lives in New England. So I've spent a lot of time in Massachusetts and Connecticut, New Hampshire, Maine, all that. That's a beautiful area of the country. Yeah. And they love their teams as well.
Yeah.
Like the Celtics are huge, man. So I look forward to hearing about when you do make it up
there. And my dad's mom, my meemaw, Diane, grew up in Massachusetts or like lived there until she was a teen or something. So she's got some ties to Massachusetts. And so she's always, if I ever can go back here soon, then she'll go with me. But it'd be awesome.
Have you seen a beach before?
Yeah, yeah.
What's it like when someone that grows up in that ranch lifestyle where you're landlocked rolls up on a beach or rolls up on a coastline?
A detrimental sunburn. That's what happens.
Oh no.
Yeah, yeah. No, I love the beach. We went to the beach for my bachelor party. My grandparents got a little beach house there in Galveston, and so we all went down, and it was jellyfish season. We all got tore the hell up by jellyfish. So
you're getting the sun rays.
No, it was fun. I love the beach and deep sea. I've been deep sea fishing and fly fishing, deep sea fly fishing, and I guess it was in the bay.
Yeah,
but no, it's, I love the beach. It's, I'm a mountain guy. I love the cool mountain air and
I like
stuff
mountains
like that.
Too, man. I love Appalachia, like the mountains that we have, which I know everybody out west says is like child's play. Yeah. Just because your mountains
are Rockies or the,
oh dude, driving through the pass in Colorado. I've had to drive a van and a trailer through the pass going from Denver to Grand Junction, Colorado. Yeah. It went in a blizzard in a 4350 with a trailer, man.
We played a wedding for some good friends of ours in Ouray, Colorado, and there's a road from Ouray to, I believe, Telluride called Million Dollar Highway, and it's because it literally costed $1 million a mile to build. And it's like, I mean, look it up on your phone. It is like when you
million dollar highway.
When you talk about like straight drop off. Like you see in movies where like if you hang a tire off this sucker.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And so we were driving a pickup. It was just three guys, just three of us went up there to play, but it was still like I had never driven on a road like that.
25-mile stretch, so $25 million highway.
Yeah.
Built and originally was a wagon trail for miners in the 1800s. So it's been there.
Straight down, yeah. I mean, we were easing down that sucker like 13 mile an hour. It was scary.
Crazy, man.
Yeah,
that's wild, man. It's awesome that you've gotten to see as much as you've gotten to see,
yeah,
and that you enjoy being on the road, because that's going to come in handy, because there's a lot of guys and girls that do what you do that don't enjoy the road aspect of it. It's like if you don't enjoy getting out there, they love performing for people, but it's the time being away and seeing different things. Like, you're built for this thing, man.
I mean, like, obviously I'm ready to get out of the van, but I love just sitting behind the wheel and looking at and seeing different cattle and just different, like I said, different ways of life. And my harmonica player, Owen Burton, we love checking out different machinery. Like, oh, look at, that's a cool skid steer. Oh, I've never seen a road grader like that. You know, just stuff like that.
You go through Iowa and it's just John Deere's everywhere, bro.
That's my brother. He's a big John Deere guy.
That's awesome, man. So, how many siblings you got?
I just got one brother. Got an older brother. Yeah.
How much older is he than you?
22 months.
Okay.
Yeah. 22 months.
Oh, nice.
Like that.
You guys are close then.
Yeah, we were real competitive. He's awesome though. I mean, he's married. He's got two kids now. He lives back home, and him and my dad farm together, and then he's got some of his own stuff going. And so he's hammered down, but he's cool.
What is the response? Like, talk about how supportive your family's been, and just the response of like even your buddies growing up seeing what you're doing now.
Yeah. No, everybody's pumped, and like it's, like I said, it's pretty neat for my family, because I'm a fourth generation musician, so we've all done it. And my dad and his brothers did some shows with, I think it was Kenny Chesney.
Oh, wow.
In the 90s. And their support has been awesome, because they, like, I'm super blessed and fortunate to have the parents I do to help me get set up to do it the right way and be in a comfortable position, you know. And so they've been great, and I mean the support from my friends and
what's the group chat been saying about all this, man?
It's been awesome, man. I couldn't do it without them. You know, my first gig ever was in a little bar in Portales, New Mexico, and I lied to the guy and was like, "Yeah, I play live music," and he was like, "Sweet, can you be here this Thursday?" And I was like, "Oh crap!" And so, but no, I mean it was all my buddies pulled up and they were there to support. And so to go from that to where I'm at now and hopefully going,
and
you know,
where it's going, dude. Yeah, man.
It's awesome.
Have any of them been out to Nashville? Any family or friends come out?
My mom came out with the first time I came out, just to meet everybody, but I'm going to be cutting some songs here pretty quick. And I think my dad and my wife and my mom are going to come, and we're going to make a little trip out of it.
It's going to be so, has your dad been out here before?
Yeah, he's been out here. My uncle lived here for a little bit. It was actually crazy. So Kenny, the other day, off topic, Kenny was writing with a guy that he had asked Kenny, he was like, well, what are you doing? And Kenny was like, well, I'm going on the road with Tyce Delk. And that guy said, Delk? Is he related to the Delks from New Mexico? And so this guy that Kenny was writing with had actually wrote with my uncle when my uncle lived here back in the 90s.
Wow.
And so it was like a crazy small world type of deal.
Dude, but that's the cool sign of like the way the universe and, exactly, and the Lord and everything works is like it all kind of lines up and you never know where you're going to end up. And it's such a small world.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool to see.
It's like you're carrying on a legacy that your family started in music back in the 90s.
Yeah. Well, 34. I mean, 1934. That's
1934.
Yeah, that's when my great granddad started playing music, and I mean, that's like,
wow.
That's what they did up until us, because we didn't play music growing up. I mean, we were around it, but like, my brother and I were playing sports. Like, my mom was an athlete; she wasn't musically inclined, and so on. We didn't really take to music; we took to sports. And then after I got done playing ball, I was like, crap, I need something to do, you know? And so that's when I finally picked back up the guitar in 21 and then kind of started playing in 22, moved to Lubbock in 24.
Dude, that's 90 years.
Yeah, so in
91 years of musical history in the Delk family.
In 2034, we're going to do a big shindig for 100 years. And so, and I've still got my grandparents, and so it's gonna be a really, it's special. I mean, it really is. And so I'm pumped about it.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, we're going to try to do a show in Cruces, where a weekend deal where they'll play, my family will play Friday night, play a dance, and then maybe I headline a Saturday night show or something.
Oh,
so it'll
dude
be cool.
And it's like where this thing's going, where it'll be, yeah, it'll be so cool.
It'll be nice.
Are there any other folks coming up in like the New Mexico scene? Like, what was the scene like there before you moved out to Lubbock?
My family they played some, and then Will Bannister.
Okay, yeah, I know Will.
Yeah, he's from Portales, and him and my dad have played together some, and they share a couple band members on a few things. But Will, I mean, he's kind of really the only other. And then Zaki Sukarno, a cat from Las Cruces, New Mexico, he plays. And then Chevelle Shepherd, she won The Voice.
Yeah.
She's from Farmington. And so, but as far as like a music scene, it's non-existent.
I feel like anybody like from New Mexico probably crosses over the border into Texas. And that's where you make your
living. And there's no, like, there's not a sports team. There's no, I mean, there's not a whole lot going on in New Mexico. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, you got to kind of, if you want to get involved, like, in, I guess, the entertainment world, you got to kind of get out of New Mexico to some degree.
So your college team would be the Red Raiders?
I was a big Duke Blue Devils fan.
Okay, you like the Blue Blood Celtics and Duke basketball.
Yeah, and so that was Kyle Singler and all the Plumlee guys.
Oh, and they were just draining threes. Austin and they had Rivers. And they had those grinders down low playing, just getting the boards.
But
just,
when I lived in Lubbock, I was a big Tech fan. And that 2019 team, they had Matt Mooney and all them guys, And so, but yeah, growing up, it was Duke and Celtics.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. You got to get out to some. Are you a hockey guy at all?
I've never been to a hockey game, but everybody I talk to, they're like, it's the funnest sport to watch. And I love that, like, as bad as it sounds, like, you can just duke it out. Like,
it's an old time sport.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
old time hockey. Yeah.
No, I definitely want to go to a Predators game or something.
I'm sure you'll be getting to a Preds game before too long. Yeah. They're a lot of fun.
Yeah. I've heard.
Nashville gets up more for hockey than it does Titans football.
Right now, it's pretty tough.
I know. And I've been here when both have been in the playoffs. And it's like they have the whole thing where they call it Smashville. And what they'll do if the Predators make the playoffs, which they've made a few times since I moved here in 2018, they'll put an old beater SUV and they'll like spray paint it, whatever the opponent is.
Yeah.
And when you're going into the stadium or going into the arena, they have some people that work for the Predators and a sledgehammer, and you can hit. Hit the SUV, so everybody that's going in is smashing.
Yeah,
like, this is Smashville. We're gonna come in. That's we're gonna sick. Play hard, and we're gonna win this game.
Yeah,
you know, it's
no,
a fun
definitely,
to
definitely
it.
Want to go to a hockey game or oh, a
dude.
Hockey game.
Dude, have you been down the Broadway at all?
Yeah, been down a couple times. We went to Tootsie's and everything. Kind of a funny story. One time, my mom and dad walked into Tootsie's and saw my dad's ex-girlfriend from back in the day on the drums.
Wow.
Yeah. Another small world, like, crazy deal, but
that's good.
On the drums of all instruments.
On the drums, which you never see. Have you been to Roberts?
No, I haven't.
You haven't been to Roberts Western World?
I maybe have. Dude, I mean, I haven't spent a lot of time on Broadway. I've only been like two times.
Well, the only times I go on Broadway is when I go to Predators games. So you can kill two birds with one stone. Robert's Western World. It is tradition. It is as traditional as it gets. It's been there forever.
Is it
it's
a one bar? Of the old.
Yeah. It's about, I think it's two or three doors down from Tootsie's. And they have like the guys playing, like, they don't play anything after I think 1987 or 1988. Like
nice.
It's the old stuff. They got stand up bass in there, fiddle player.
Yeah, dude.
And it's, and they run a thing. It's called the Recession Special. I think it's like $6 or $7 now. It used to be $5, but you get a PBR or a Busch Light. You get a fried bologna sandwich and you get a moon pie and a bag of chips for like $6.
That's the best deal downtown. That's a
man. It's the best deal.
I'll be darned.
Huh. So yeah, you'll have to get down. I think your family would like that too. I'm sure your dad and your uncle have some stories about
Robert's.
I'm
sure they've
coming up in that Western world.
Oh man. Yeah.
That's awesome. What's something that you would tell yourself? I guess you've been doing this. You said you pick up the guitar back in 21.
Yeah.
What's something you would tell that kid about where life is right now? Now you're married. You're getting to get ready to tour the country. You got a debut EP coming out. Like, what would you tell? What would you tell Tyce Delk of 2021?
Just to not don't set any expectations. I mean, it was. I guess I didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, it's, I don't know. I had such a different plan, you know, and then this was God's plan. So just roll with the flow and don't set it. I mean, be a good person, but don't set any, just go with the flow, I guess. I mean, I don't know. That's kind of a tricky. Oh, I would tell him to definitely learn the scales of the guitar because that's tricky. But just kind of don't set an expectation and just let it happen. Let it just kind of go with the flow.
Just go with the flow and go through those doors that open up because you never know where those swinging doors are going to take you.
Exactly.
Man. That's awesome. Well, hey, thank you so much for
coming out here
and hanging.
Thank you.
I'm excited to get to see you a bunch. One tomorrow night at the local. We've got you on a great round too. I don't know if you know. Have you met Aniston Pate or SJ?
No,
or?
I've seen some songs SJ's been
on. SJ was one of my first
friends.
And
then Carson Peters, too.
Carson,
dude,
bro,
he's a bad.
I think it's a perfect round for someone in your lane to be on with those three. Aniston's a little pistol from Texas that's awesome and got her thing going right now. Carson, that blue guy, he can pick the heck out of a guitar.
He's
and his music is so cool. And then SJ McDonald was one of the first people that I met because I used to work on Broadway. I was a bouncer. I moved from being a radio guy in New Jersey to checking IDs on Broadway. I worked at Dierks Bentley's bar.
That's awesome.
And SJ, she was like 18 or 19 at the time, was playing at playing Broadway gigs. Like she was just singing 4-hour cover shifts downtown as an 18, 19-year-old girl. And she's been like a little sister ever since. And she's been killing it going on the road with Emily Ann Roberts and a bunch of other people. So
that's sick.
Dude, it's going to be a lot of fun. And next year, those festivals, bro.
I cannot wait.
Oh, it's going to be so much fun.
I'm pumped.
Have you been to a music festival before?
Just Cotton Fest. I mean, I've never been to a big festival like that. And so I'm ecstatic.
Dude, we'll have to do, because part of what they have us do is they have us do content out there. We'll have to get a side by side or a four wheeler or something.
Oh my
and get
gosh!
Out, and
please.
Get go out, take you out into the take. I always call it the Wildlings. Go out to where the people are camping at, and dude, we'll show you a good time at festival season.
Let's
man.
Do it, man.
We'll have a ball. We'll brother. Thank you so much.
Thank
I appreciate
you,
the heck out of you.
Thank
and
you.
Can't wait for the world to hear this EP. Enough ain't enough, bro.
Yes, sir.
I'm excited, man. Well, y'all be sure to look up our man Tyce Delk. Give him a visit on the road. He's going to be out all over the place next year. He's got some shows with our buddy Hudson Westbrook. We might be seeing you at NFR. Not entirely sure if we're making it out there. Yeah. We were out there last year, but we bounce around to a lot of the places where Hudson's at here lately, being in the Surfside family. So we're actually going to be with him in Irving in a couple weeks, which will be cool. But y'all be sure to check out our man Tyce Delk, Enough Ain't Enough, the new EP. Go stream the heck out of it. And shout out to our friends from Surfside. No Bubbles, No Troubles. I'm sure if you've been out with Hudson, you've seen these all over the place. I'm going to send you home. I got an 8-pack for you over there, the green teas. So you can enjoy those while you're out here in town. Got a bunch of hats for you to pick through as well.
Awesome.
For more on us, visit RaiseRowdy.com. For our man Tyce, I'm Matt Brill. This has been Outside the Round.
Never been the kind for staying one place for too long. I ain't never been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks on my sleeve. They usually just make them leave.